Mission 3, and we got to go to service with them on Sunday morning and be a part of their service. So it was a good time. But we're back, and we have a busy, busy weekend coming up. But before we get into that, I'm going to just do a pastoral thing here. And some of you are going to love me, some of you are going to hate me, but this is just how it is. We have a conference room that's right across the vestibule. And in that conference room, we have tables set up. And a lot of times people come in because they have different schedules and they get here for service early and they maybe have supper or whatever in the conference room. And we don't object to that. Other than I have a problem when you leave and you leave food all over the table and all over the floor. And then somebody has to pick it up. So tonight I was picking up smashed in cheese and gummy bears and sticky food all over the tables. Now we have guests coming in for a grief class, and we want the class to be clean and neat, and it looked terrible. So I'm not for sure who it was, but I will tell you this, next time either please clean up or we're going to lock it up. And then you can eat out in your car, and I guarantee you, you won't leave gummy bears in the floorboard of your car. You'll probably pick those up. So if you're here right now, and that was you, you need to feel real bad that somebody else had to pick up your gummy bears and sticky cheese off the floor when you should have been the one picking it up, okay? So with that, I'm sorry all the people online had to hear that, but that's just the way it is. And understand something, your mother doesn't work here. And we expect people, if you're a big person, that you can clean up after yourself. And if you have children, I guarantee you probably clean up after them at home. So with that, if you're a guest of ours, it's so glad to have if you're a guest of ours. We're so glad that you're here with us either online tonight or in person. And we want to connect with you. And if you're worshiping in person out at the kiosk, we have a some points of information that we'd like to get from you and a small gift for you. And if you're online, you can go to our bit.ly link, connect to CG, and you can see that on the screen behind me. And we also have some giving options. We have some new offering boxes. They're not so new, but we've had them. They're fairly new for some of us, perhaps. But we have some offering boxes out, three of them in the vestibule. You can put your tithe offering in that, or you can mail it in, or you can go directly to our website, or you can give through our Church Center app. If you do not have the Church Center app, I strongly suggest that you just bite the bullet and go to your app store on your phone and download Church Center. If you have any questions on that, Pastor Phil Demas, who will be up here shortly, will be able to take and help you with that. And also, we have, now we celebrated this back in August. We had good, we had our All Nations Sunday, and we celebrated and we combined our All Nations Sunday with our Summer Fun Fest and kind of have a celebration with all of our churches, Daughter Works, and Preaching Points all celebrating here together on in August. But technically, All Nations Sunday is October 27th or 22nd, and an offering will be taken October 22nd. But we have a video that they'd like to play right now. No, no video. Okay, I guess you get to look at me instead. So we will be taking up our All Nations Sunday offering on October 22nd. And so make sure you remember that. Now, this goes to Brother John Seidel, which is our our executive pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. And he is also our multicultural, he's over our multicultural ministries for the District of Wisconsin. And so if you have any questions on anything concerning that, just feel free to ask him, and he'd be willing to help you out there. Also, we have coming up on October 21st, I'm going to skip their Family Focus Weekend because Brother Peter Sandin is going to cover that tonight when he speaks. But we have our Ladies Conference, which we have this every year, and we're very excited this year to have a couple that's going to be coming. They are the assistant pastors in Waukesha, and they do a tremendous job. And it's Brother Ahe and Sister Cami Giwa. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, they can correct me. when they come. But a great couple. They work there under Brother Brandon and Sister Crystal Ball in Waukesha, and very talented. But they will be here speaking to the ladies, and then Brother Ahe will be speaking here on Sunday morning in our 11 o'clock service. So also we have coming up, we have October 29th. We have our Holy Ghost Sunday. And this event with Holy Ghost Sunday, if you know someone that is interested in baptism or interested in the Holy Ghost or finding out more about the Holy Ghost, I want to just encourage you to invite someone that needs the Holy Ghost or that wants to know more about this to this service, and just allow God to move and let God be God. All we got to do is get them here, and then God can do the rest. And so over the next 2 weeks, I want you to prayerfully consider who you're going to invite, and then we will have invitation cards available for you to take home. And with that, we're going to have Pastor Phil come and share something new and exciting that he's been working on.
Amen. You mentioned the library and the mess in Malachi. It's like, wasn't me, Dad. But in Matthew 28, we're commissioned to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Amen. We're commissioned to help someone grow in God. And part of that process is often an invitation. Come be my guest. Be my guest. God draws all men unto him. But while we should pray that folks should be drawn through marketing platforms like YouTube or Facebook or our website as they search for a church, that should not be our excuse for not engaging ourselves in this commission. We should be praying that God would open a door, that God would provide an opportunity for us to connect with someone. And the key to an individual coming and staying is connection. Yes, you have the random, but the key is connection. I don't know about that. Well, let me give you some data. We've had in the past however long 84 guests that actually gave us the information on how they heard about Calvary Gospel Church, and 71% of those folks came because of a family member or a friend or some sort of personal connection. Yes, our website does capture some folks, but 71% come because one of you invited them. They came, they heard because of you. The last couple months in our Family Focus Wednesdays, we've talked about our oikos, which is our circle of influence, our circle of friends, our circle of acquaintances, and who does God want us to reach out to? That's the key. That's the key right there. I think about Quick Trip. I go in there and talked about Quick Trip the other day. Just a quick story. I had a lady come like, "Do you always dress up?" One of the employees. I'm like, "No, I come in here all the time, like T-shirt and jeans." I'm like, "No," and I'm like, "I'm not clicking." And then I think it was I had a funeral or something. And then the next time I came in, she was working again, and she's like, "Oh no!" The first time I was just like, "No, I'm a pastor." "Oh, that explains it." Well, I found out later it's because I come on Sundays, and that's when she works after church. I stopped there, and that day I thankfully I had a business card, but it was also kind of weird because it's just me. It's not like a business, but I'm like, ran out to my car. I'm like, "Hey, if you're ever around, just stop by. We'd love to have you. Love to be our guest." We want to provide tools for everyone to invite someone. One of those tools is a simple invitation card, slide number one. If you may have seen that in the vestibule, Sister Sarah, that's right, it's not back there. It is up there. We have a big sign out there, invite someone this week. And there's a challenge that we want you to see every time you leave service, a reminder to invite someone this week. Amen. Underneath the sign is a number of invitation cards. Right now, it's just a little table that we got, but we'll have a nice holder of sorts coming by next week. But we wanted to get these cards in your hands right away. First, next slide, we've got cards for everyday use. I'm saving you a seat is on the front, or where friends become family. The last one, are you looking for hope? And then the back of the card has a call to action for the individual to be your guest this week, has our service times, has basic contact information for the church. And so please feel free to grab some of these, each type, and use the ones that are most appropriate for the individual you're talking to. And again, be prayerful. You know, they may not need hope, but they want family. They may need to feel that connection. They may need to feel like, hey, I'm going to have someone to sit by when I go. And so use these as you will. And then lastly, we mentioned Holy Ghost Sunday, and we have made a special invitation card for that. It says on the front, "This could change your life forever," has the date, and you'll see it up there. And then on the back, "God is transforming lives, and we invite you," et cetera, some more basic information. We got 500 of these. I'd love to see all 500 passed out in the next 2 weeks. Someone needs a life change. Someone needs a life change. Amen. Let's grab some cards. Let's pray about the folks in our circle of connection. Let's extend the invitation. And as the sign out there says, grab a card, change a life. Grab a card, change a life. Would you stand with me? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Is there any situation, circumstance you want to indicate by a lifted hand out there? We want to pray for Sister Debbie. It's so good to see you. Thank you, Jesus, for the touch on her. Amen. We want to continue to pray that be no complications or anything, that it's done. Amen. But if you saw a lifted hand, why don't you call out that brother or sister? Call them out, their name out right now. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your touch, God. You are a miracle-working God, Lord Jesus, God. You are a life-changing God, Lord. Every situation, every circumstance, Lord God, we can bring to you. We can cast on your feet, at your feet, Lord God. You care for us, God. Lord Jesus, so you call that us to do that, to cast our cares on you. God, I pray, God, anoint every hand that was lifted tonight. You know the need, the situation. Thank you for your touch on Sister Debbie. I pray a complete healing, Lord. No complications, no adverse effects from this, Lord, heart attack. Lord God, I pray, Lord, anoint, Lord Jesus, our grief share class tonight. Minister in that class, Lord God. Minister healing. Minister, Lord Jesus, your peace, Lord God, to those individuals in that class. Anoint our children in their classes, Lord Jesus, God, I pray. Just anoint this place, Lord. Anoint the preaching of your word. We give you all the glory, all the praise. Let's give them a hand clap of praise tonight. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Let's worship together.
Healing is here. Healing is here. Can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is
God is worthy of our praise. Let's just praise Him some more right now. Thank you, God. God, Your presence is so good. God, You are water in the desert, God. You are so good, God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are so good. Praise God. You can be seated tonight. Tonight is Family Focus Weekend, or Family Focus Night at Calvary Gospel. We do one a month, and our series is The Way is Life. And before I get started, I have to say, what you don't see is that I get up here and there's some slides and all this, but you don't see that Jessica scrambles around and helps me from time to time a lot, and that the sound and the overhead people that do this, they run this. Sometimes I don't know how to run a clicker. I don't know if they teach you that and wherever I learned, and so they have to help me with that, and Brother Phil helps me, so there's a lot of people that help with this behind the scenes, and so you should all know that. I can't take any credit for that stuff. Yes, thank you. So Before we get going, I have an announcement. We've been announcing this for a while now, but this weekend is our family focus weekend. We're taking an entire weekend this year. We've been announcing it, letting people know for a while, but the specifics have come out in the last 2 months. And so I want to go through some finer details here, okay? Brother and Sister Doughty are coming. I don't think they've ever been to our church to speak. They've been here a few times to visit some friends and family. I know them through family where they've spoken at their churches, and I've heard nothing but amazing things. In fact, I was warned, Pastor Roy, from my brother-in-law. He said, you're bringing them to talk about marriage, but there's going to be anointing, and God's going to move. And so I was like, this is awesome. I'm really excited. So they're going to be here for the whole weekend. Friday night at 6 o'clock, they'll be here at the church. The men were going to be outside, but it is going to rain. We're getting like 2.5 inches over the next 2 days. So the men and the women will be separate, and Brother Doughty will be speaking to the men, and Sister Doughty will be speaking to the women. And then on Saturday at 9 a.m. to noon, we're going to have a marriage, 2 sessions for marriage, okay? So that's, if you're married, you should bring your spouse to that event, okay? If you're not married and you're a man or a woman, come on Friday night. You'll be blessed. We will have a continental breakfast that starts at 8:30, little donuts and cheeses and coffees and all that. So if you show up at 8:30, you can have a continental breakfast. If you show up at 9, find your seat and then get it during a break. No, I'm just kidding. We'll work around it. There is childcare provided for the marriage seminar. So if you show up for that, there will be childcare from 9 to noon. Saturday night at 5 p.m. is a family grill out. I know Brittany announced this on Sunday, but it's here at the church. We're going to be grilling out hot dogs and brats, and there's going to be just fun and games, and as long as the weather's, we'll have a fire going. And either way, we're going to have a good time. Even if we have to bring it inside, we're going to have a good time as a church family, as a community. No service that night, just hanging out. And then Sunday morning in our 11 a.m. service is Brother Doughty's going to be speaking. So one thing, I'm going to try something. We're in 2023. We have technology now. Brother Phil's going to help me out to probably tomorrow or Friday, one of the next 2 days. And he's going to send out an email via the app, or somehow we're going to get it to you. You're going to look, and it's going to ask you like 4 simple questions. Do you plan to come Friday? Do you plan to come Saturday? Maybe it's 3, Saturday night, right? We're trying to get some last-minute counts on things. If you're willing and able to just answer yes or no, I would appreciate that. It's pretty easy, right? Just 3 simple questions. You can go on. So look for that email or on the app. However, we'll get it out there. There's technology. You'll find it. We're excited for that. So we're excited for the weekend and for what God's going to do in families and in this community and also just in people, right? I hope that in the course of the first 9 months of this series, that just because you've been single or your kids are out of the house or you're not married or you're a youth, that God is still blessing you because there are still lessons to be learned, right? And so let's roll right into our series. Our verse for the series is John 14:6, when Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This series was birthed on the idea that there's so many things that take over our lives. The things we spend our times doing, the mindsets we have, right? The things we're going about and the time we spend and the energy we spend doing things. And that essentially becomes our life. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your ministry. Maybe it's your hobby. But that thing you pour so much of you into and you follow actually becomes your life. And the next thing you know, you got stickers on your trunk saying, like, board games is life. Is that proper English, Spencer? Board games is life? No. right? And so instead, we're looking to what was Jesus's way of doing things, a different way of doing things. He said, I am the way. And so the question is, what did he do? He told all the disciples, follow me. Follow me. And he was asking them to follow him, but then he left. So he's really saying, follow the way I'm doing things. And that's why we talked about last time, the people that started following the way of Jesus were more known as followers of the way than they were Christians. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find out what is in the Bible that we can follow. What is God telling us to follow? A verse we have for today is, got to find my slide again. A verse we have for today is Psalms 37:23, and it says, a person's steps are established by the Lord, and he takes pleasure in his way. A person's steps are established, they're ordered, they're directed. God is directing all of your steps. Now, what's interesting is I tried to do some research, I'm trying to figure out who the he and the his is in this verse. Is the he God? Does God take pleasure in when I follow his way? or do I take pleasure when I follow in God's way? I couldn't figure that out. They actually say, maybe it could be both. Who knows? I'll take it both ways. And so either way works in this sense of us using the word way. But this way is a prescribed method or a path to accomplish something. It's a process above a result. It's a journey above a destination. It's just saying, I'm going to commit to following Jesus' way of doing things because I want everlasting life. So this is our series goal. Our series goal is to equip men and women to lead their families to a life focused on Jesus by providing resources, examples, and opportunities. The Bible is an opportunity. What Jesus did on the cross is an opportunity. The Bible is an opportunity for us to make a choice. What Jesus did on the cross is an opportunity for us to make a choice. This whole series is an opportunity for you to make a choice. It's your choice to follow the ways of Jesus, to follow his word. It's one thing to come to church and wear the suit jacket. It's another thing to follow the ways of Jesus. It's my choice to follow the way. And I just hope that we don't get too busy. I hope we are not too busy that our way is accidentally taking over. And that's why David says we need to continue to examine ourselves. God, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way. See if my way is creeping into my life a little bit more than it should. And so let's review. Quarter one, we talked about priorities and boundaries. In priorities and boundaries, in January, we talked about ownership. And I'm going to repeat these every time so we get them in our head. Ownership. We are responsible for the growth of our families and ourselves. February, eliminating hurry and distraction. We can slow down and be more present. In March, we talked about family focus. We can choose what we focus on. That seems like a... No, you get to choose. You get to say no to things and yes to things. In the second quarter, for April, May, and June, we talked about spiritual disciplines. We talked about in April about prayer. We said we can be intentional, present, and honest to connect with God. In May, we talked about Bible reading. Remember, these are all things we do to follow the way that Jesus did it. Every one of these, you go back and listen, they're all scriptures. This is not some curriculum. These are all from the Bible. Bible reading, we can read, understand, and apply God's word. In June, we talked about fasting and separation, and we said we can remove distractions from our lives. In the third quarter, we talked about service and community, and Jerry helped me with all those, and I really appreciate your help, Jerry. But in July, we talked about community. We said we can be the neighbor to those God has placed in our lives. Going back to what Brother Phil said, don't look for the neighbor. You're the neighbor. Just go find the people around you, right? Let's invite some people. In August, we talked about helping others. It was very simple. We can help. Whatever level, there's an opportunity for you to help. In September, we talked about taking new territory, and Jerry talked about that we can conquer as a church, as a community, as a family. Not conquer like treating people like dirt, but conquer by going out and helping, by going out and winning the lost, by going out and teaching Bible studies, by winning people to God's side of things. And so that leads us to the fourth quarter. We're at the home stretch. We have three more lessons. Right? And the first lesson tonight for the quarter is becoming priests, or becoming a priest, however you want to word it. And in October, we're going to talk about initiating vision and direction. But before we start talking about this topic for this specific month, we should probably talk about what a priest is just a little bit, right? And so with that said, we're going to hit play twice, and hopefully my little YouTube video works.
Open as Moses leads Israel to the foot of Mount
So this you can stop it there. Just click to the next slide. So this is just a minute and 28 seconds of a video. I highly recommend the Bible Project videos. But this got me thinking, right? I was watching this video with our children. We were watching this little video learning about Exodus. And it said, and that's the covenant, that we are called to be a kingdom of priests. I'm like, I've never heard that. That's what Peter said in the New Testament. And so let's go to Exodus 19. And I'm going to read through this very quickly, so we'll click through the slides here. But in verse 1, it says, in the third month from the very day the Israelites left the land of Egypt, they came to the Sinai wilderness. They traveled from Rephidim, came to the Sinai wilderness, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Moses went up the mountain to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. This is what you must say to the house of Jacob and explain to the Israelites. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. My own possession out of all the peoples, although the whole earth is mine. And you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. These are the words you are set to say to the Israelites. And so we see in the video, and we read here that God is calling his people, you follow my way, and you're going to be my kingdom of priests, my representatives, showing me to other nations, showing what our God is really like. But let's not stop reading there. Because then, not only did I see this in the video, then I was having a conversation with Jerry, and these two things happened separately, and I put them together because it was really interesting. In verse 7, it says, and Moses came back, and he summoned Moses came back and he summoned the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. So he just told everybody what God just told him. I want you to be a kingdom of priests, right? Then all the people responded together, we will do all that the Lord has spoken. So Moses brought the people's words back to the Lord. That's how it goes normally, right? We all, yeah, Brother Peter, Brother Roy, we're going to do that. That's a great message. And the Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear when I speak. He did not say, I'm going to come and speak only to you, Moses. I want everybody to hear me. And you with you and will always believe you. Moses reported the people's words to the Lord. And the Lord told Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. They must wash their clothes and be prepared by the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of the people. So he's prepping them. He's like, you can't just be anywhere near me without having some sort of consecration, right? You got to make some changes in your life. He says, and put boundaries for all the people all around the mountain and say, be careful that you don't go up the mountain or touch its base. Anyone who touches the mountain must be put to death. Now, keep in mind why he's saying this. He's saying, you are purifying yourself right now. You're consecrating yourself. You are not ready to come up the mountain until this time period is over. And it says, essentially, if someone goes up the mountain or near there, it says, no hand may touch him. Instead, he will be stoned or shot with arrows and not live, whether animal or human. And here's the line. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they may go up the mountain. Who went up the mountain? Who went up the mountain? Who was invited to go up the mountain? Everybody. That's Brother Jerry. He said, wow, that's crazy. He invited everybody up the mountain. He's like, follow me. I want to make you a kingdom of priests. I don't need to go through Moses. I can talk to all of you. Everybody, come up this mountain. Prepare yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. And come up the mountain. And then we skip two or three verses down. And what does it say in verse 17? Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the base, the foot of the mountain. God is calling us to walk towards him, to rise higher, to be a kingdom of priests, not to stand at the base of the mountain. We see this similarly noted in the New Testament. What does Peter say in 1 Peter 2:9? He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. I think Peter knew his Old Testament. A people for his possession. Why? So that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter is talking to us. He's talking to the church. He's saying, we are chosen. We are a priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his possession so we can proclaim his praises. He's saying, we are different. We are supposed to be different. We have always been supposed to be different. The priest is supposed to be different. The priest points to God. The priest points to the things God has done. But let's go backwards in 1 Peter 2 and start at the beginning of the chapter, because it talks a little bit about, he says this, and we all like to focus on this verse. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Well, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up. You may grow up into your salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves, as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the one thing I'm seeing here is that this becoming a priest is actually becoming a priest. It's not like, there you go, Clayton, you are a priest. Boom. No, he's called us to be priests. He wants us to be priests. He wants us to become priests and grow into a priest, to be built into a priest. But it's going to take some changes in our lives. Right? Rid yourselves of all these things. Stay off the mountain until you're clean. It's going to take some changes in our lives. Just because we're desired and called to be priests does not make us priests. We must choose to be priests. It is a choice. It's a collection of choices every day. And so what, if it's God's intentions for his people to be priests, what is a priest? I mean, you probably read the first time of the word priest, you probably hear about it from Melchizedek. We know Moses' father-in-law was the priest of Midian. We know Joseph, interesting fact, Joseph's father-in-law, the Egyptian lady, his father-in-law was a priest too. Probably not the God priest, but the Egyptian priest. And so we hear these things about priests are, right? But this is what we have. I think I have a slide here for it. A priest is a man who officially, this is in the Bible, what we read in the Bible, who officially represented God to the people he served, instructing them about God and his laws. Priests are also represented the people before God, offering sacrifices as well as interceding and pleading for the people. So a priest is this person kind of in the middle, right? Like a priest represents God to the world, and he represents the world to God. When we represent God to the world, we're sharing of love and grace and mercies. When we're representing the world to God, we're like, God, forgive them. Open their minds and their hearts. We're not here, you know, sending them to hell. We're here pleading for them and interceding for them. So representing God to the people and representing the people before God. But what's interesting is before the Mosaic law, before God gave out the laws in Exodus to Moses, the family head served as the priest for his family. That's why it's not surprising that God said, well, everybody just come up the mountain. Just get ready, prepare yourself, consecrate, you know, get rid of some things and come up the mountain. Because the family head served as the priest. But then because they didn't want to do that under the Mosaic law, the male members of the family of Aaron, of the tribe of Levi, made up the priesthood. And then everybody that was a part of their family assisted them. It's really interesting to see as you're reading through this idea of where the priests started and how they became. You start to see their job, right? You see how God the Israelites design and lay out their camp and their tabernacle and their altar. Very specific. And the priests were given jobs and roles. They were to care for the tabernacle and move the tabernacle and clean the tabernacle and offer sacrifices. And many, it wasn't just speaking at conferences, right? There's work involved and many others. And when the entire camp was organized, the location of every tribe was specifically noted in Numbers. Look at this slide. Look at this picture. Every tribe was specifically noted. Dan is going to be out there on the right, and then Asher, and then Naphtali, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, and Reuben, and Simeon, and Gad, and Ephraim, and Manasseh, and Benjamin. And why don't you hear the name Levi? They're one of the 12. They didn't get a spot in one of those wings because they are in the 2 and the 3 and the 4. What's notable about what you see where the priests are in that layout? Where are they? They're in between the people and God. When the entire camp was organized, everything was specific. And who was in the middle of the whole camp? God. And who was between God and the people? The priests. They represented the people to God and God to the people. And so as we look at what a priest is, we're starting to get a better idea of what one is. But what were their responsibilities? What made them a priest, right? And so I want to give a full credit here. Usually if I have resources, I try to name them so you guys don't think I'm super smart and you know I'm, quoting from a book or something, right? But in this case, Brother Galen Thompson, we all know Brother Galen Thompson, he has a series he's taught, and he's provided that to us called The 6 Primary Responsibilities of a Priest. And so for the next 3 months, we're going to kind of weave in and out of those 6 primary responsibilities. You might come to me after one of these and be like, well, you never mentioned that they dip the meat into the... These are the primary responsibilities. Everything kind of folds into these. And I'm super excited that next month and the month after, Brother Roberto and Brother Caskey are going to be speaking with us, sharing some of these responsibilities. So I'm super excited about them helping out. Yes, thank you. And the six primary responsibilities, you don't have to write these down, we're going to be going through them, are to initiate vision and direction, to minister, to teach or instruct, to bless, to protect, and to focus and to meditate or intercede. And so as we go through these lessons, we're going to look at being a priest to like the world and the church, but also this is our family focus, so being a priest in our homes. Okay, so now the lesson's going to be short because we took all the time preparing for it. We're going to start with Exodus 28:15, and it says, you are to make an embroidered breastpiece for making decisions. For making decisions. Make it with the same workmanship as the ephod. Make it of gold, of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely spun linen. It must be square and folded double, 9 inches long and 9 inches wide. So you're supposed to have this thing that hangs over you, and it's for making decisions. And then we skip down 14 verses to verse 29, and it says, whenever he enters the sanctuary, Aaron is to carry the names of the Israel's sons over his heart on the breastpiece for decision. So this breastpiece is all about decisions, okay? As a continual reminder before the Lord, place the Urim and the Thummim, you got it, in the breastpiece for decisions so that they will be over Aaron's heart whenever he comes before the Lord. Aaron will continually carry the means of decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. And then we read in Numbers 27, it says, when direction from the Lord is needed, Joshua will stand before Eleazar the priest, who will use the Urim, one of the sacred lots cast before the Lord, to what? Determine his will. This is how Joshua and the rest of the community of Israel will determine everything they should do. And so you can imagine there's this breast piece, and it's got like 12 stones on it for the 12 tribes, and inside it are tucked these two little stones. And it's going to sound really smart here for a minute, but I'm going to throw it all out when I'm done here, right? But there's these two little stones essentially to help them make decisions. Remember, our topic this month is initiating vision and direction. Okay? We look at the words Urim and Thummim. Urim is light, to be luminous, vision. Thummim is about perfection or pure, being perfect, complete truth, direction. Urim and Thummim, they represent a complete illumination of pure truth, direct, pure revelation. They would use these stones to inquire, determine the will of God. They sought after God for vision and direction. They sought after God to make the right choices. And as believers And as followers of Jesus, we're called to do the same exact thing. But we're not handing out stones at the end of this thing. It's not about these little stones. I think they quit mentioning them. I think in Ezra, they mentioned, like, where are the stones? No one has them, something like that. Like, they quit being mentioned. And so it's not about the stones, really. The stones were about direction and vision. God, where are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to do in this case? But just because the stones aren't there doesn't mean we shouldn't seek God's will or direction. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have vision in our life or a vision for our life or direction. But now we do it differently. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Romans 8:14 says, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. 1 Corinthians 2:12, and I'm going to skip ahead, though, to verse 13. It says, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. And verse 15, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For whoever has known the Lord's mind, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. When we are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, his Spirit is living inside of us. And so we are led by his Spirit. His Spirit guides us into all truth, not two little stones. His Spirit tells us what to do. We have the Spirit and the anointing and therefore access to divine direction in our lives. For me, it's in these momentary instances, it's less of a voice, like, turn left, Peter. But it's more like being led of God daily. That's why our verse said the steps of a man are ordered of God. They're directed of God. They're established by God. The Spirit and anointing comes from an intimate relationship with God. He carried those stones around continually, everywhere he went, because he never knew when he was going to have to make a decision. But we like to think, I'm just going to come in here, I'm going to be a priest, and boom, I have vision and direction. But no, it's daily walking in the Spirit. It's daily not walking in the flesh. It's daily not walking of the things of this world. It's daily listening for God's voice. It's daily looking for his will, praying that God, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Direct my steps. And so we can look at the exact instances of God, should I buy this car? Should I buy this house? Should I quit this job? Should I take this job? But really, we're talking big picture here. We're looking for God's vision and direction in our lives. But we're also, this is family focus, we're initiating vision and direction. Well, that's a little bit, hold on. As the father and head of our homes, men, we are responsible to initiate vision and direction. But the problem is we sometimes forget about the part where we're supposed to be continually seeking God. We are to continually seek God. We are to have this awesome and intimate relationship with God that we're so close to him that we know what his will is. We know what his vision for us is and for our family is. We must use our umim and our thummim, the Spirit of God in our lives, to direct us on a daily basis. And so what does this look like? What does it look like as you're preparing? What is the vision for my family? What is the vision for my life, youth? What is the vision for my life, people that the kids are gone or have never had kids or are single? Well, I think if you just read something, you'll figure it out. No, it doesn't work that way. We pray. And you might want to fast. And we read God's word and we just pour into it and say, God, what are you speaking to me? What do you start writing stuff down? Right? If you're as a family, sit down as a family after you've prayed and start praying. God, every night you've brought, God, show us what your vision for our family is. And start asking yourselves these questions. How are we going to be characterized in 5 or 10 years? How do you want to be known? What do you want to be your legacy? What do you want to be important to your family? What sets you apart from everybody else? What does God want you and your family to become? And so as a priest, as a leader of our homes, men and women, as a person that's single even, as a youth, as a leader of your own life, we should be saying, God, what's your vision for my life? We should be praying for this. And God's going to reveal it to us. It's this idea of vision is looking at the big picture. And so let me give you an example of what that might be. The vision might be, as we've prayed and thought about it, God might be saying, Peter, your vision is to help people. The vision I have for your life, you're going to be a family that has to be a little flexible, but you're going to help people. Your vision is to not do all these things that aren't bad, but they don't focus on the things I want you to focus on. And we start writing this stuff down, and little by little, you're creating, you're initiating a vision, a God-given vision for your family, because you are continually going to your spirit that God has inside of you, the spirit of truth that's going to guide you into all truth. So that's vision, looking at the big picture, but direction is then saying, here's the big picture. God has called me for this. God has called our family to do this. And I don't think this has to be as deep as God has called you to be a missionary to Zimbabwe. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying, who are you? Who do you want to be characterized in the next 5 to 10 years? It's not going to happen tomorrow. But if you say, you know what? It may not be true at this moment, but I really feel like God wants us to be a family that is out there teaching Bible studies. Then start praying about it. Write it down. What do we got to do, right? And that's where direction comes in. What are you going to do to make this vision that God's given you a reality? What steps are you going to take? What goals are you going to set? What boundaries will you set? What map will you use? Which way will you take? How will you as a person, as a family, as a leader, a priest of your home, how will you accomplish the vision that God has for you? Some of the ideas Brother Galen Thompson talked about, just to put it in perspective, is, you know, maybe you're going to do this through devotions. Maybe you're going to do this by making marriage date nights a priority. Maybe you're going to do this by exercising more. Maybe you're going to do this by taking regular vacations. Maybe you're going to do this by praying regularly. Maybe you're going to do this by finding people. Say, we're going to commit. We're going to find people to help. Even if it's giving them a stick of gum, we're going to give them a stick of gum. Or maybe you have extra money, or give them a ride to church, or feed a meal. I don't know. But these are all ways you can say, this is how we're going to accomplish this. I may not be a Bible study scholar. I may not have gone to Bible school, but I feel like God wants our family to teach Bible studies and invite people to church. And so how does it start? I'm going to start by taking a card, Brother Phil. I'm just going to take one. I'm going to walk around with it until God gives me somebody to hand it to, right? But men, the danger here is that you think through all this. We're good at thinking through things. We're bad about talking to our spouses about it. Yes, my wife's nodding her head, see? It's true, I know. And so that we have to sit down as a couple, as a family. And maybe you're by yourself and you're going to sit down and pray. You need to find a friend or a mentor and say, here's what I'm feeling after some days and weeks and time in prayer. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, vision is what's the big picture? Direction is what are the goals I'm going to do to get there, right? And how will you measure this? How are you going to check in? Who's going to hold you accountable? Do you have the guts to ask yourself what's going well and what's not going well? And be okay with like, yeah, I'm failing here, but God is gracious, and I'm going to try again tomorrow. This all sounds familiar because in week 2, we talked about we can choose what we focus on. And the homework assignment was to create a little write-up of who you are as a family and what your priorities should be. This is essentially very similar to that. But we're talking about becoming a priest. Becoming a priest, and what priests do is initiate vision and direction. And they get that vision and direction from God and in prayer. And it sounds, we've said it a lot, but it says in the Bible, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, things go to ruin. Without a vision, you just get stuck watching Netflix every night and going from sporting event to sporting event, and nobody has ever helped. Nobody has ever taught a Bible study. Nobody has ever prayed for, right? Without a vision, maybe you don't get destroyed, but you're definitely going to just roll off into obscurity, and life will pass us by. So men, I challenge you to lead this discussion. Start it. Even if the start of the conversation is, this is really difficult for me, and I have no idea where to start, and I have no idea what our vision is. God has put you in that role. He will support you in that role, if you will step out and do that. And wives, you can be a willing partner and key contributor in these conversations. Don't come to these conversations and be like, well, Pastor Roy, this is not Sister Lois, okay? It is. Well, Pastor Roy, when I see the 12-step process, I will give my feedback. I know, come on. I know that happens, right? But instead we come together and say, what is it? What's God speaking to you? Let's go pray. I don't know. Let's pray this week. Let's pray as a couple every night. Let's pray, God, what's the vision for our family? Let's pray individually. And then let's get back together in a week and say, what are you hearing? What's God saying to you? Let's just start jotting stuff down. Don't make your husband come up with everything, wives. God has designed you both uniquely to offer good input on this, to see through each other's blind spots, right? He put us both in the garden to be fruitful and multiply. And so that leads us to our motto for October in initiating vision and direction and becoming a priest. We can fulfill God's vision for our family. Musicians can come up here. Parts of this message are very like Bible. Parts of this message feel very like self-help. What do you want to be in 5 years? I don't know. I got a job so I don't have to go to interviews anymore. Right? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I see myself working for you and making money. Right? But this isn't really some self-help. There's a reason all the famous people and all the experts and all the little self-help, I'll cut to the chase with all those books. You don't got to read them. All of these efficiency and self-help, they're all like, figure out what you want to do and set a goal to do it. Even if it's to be a motorcycle rider. So if it works for that, I want to lose 50 pounds and I'm going to do this thing and this is who's going to keep me accountable. This is how I'm going to check in. Then it works for God. I want a vision for my family and this is how I'm going to accomplish it. And I feel to say right now that there are people in this place that want to write this off and say, I'm not a priest, and I'll never be a priest. I'm just a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner that probably did something stupid on my way in tonight. But God called everybody up the mountain. He wants us all to be priests. There's not going to be revival in this community because Pastor Roy saves 25,000 people. Right? This is an opportunity. God is calling us to become priests. And so if you don't know what the vision for your family is, if you don't know what the vision for your individual life is, and it might change as life goes. If you're young, God might be telling you one thing, and then you're going to get there, and it's going to be what the next one is. If you don't know what it is tonight, I challenge you. Start praying about and asking God what it is. What's the vision God has for your family? What's the vision God has for your family? What's the vision God has for your life? Let's all stand tonight. And so this is the homework assignment. To sit down with your spouse or by yourself and write out what characterizes what our family should be. I highly suggest you pray and you fast before you do this. And just fast what you can. But start praying about it. God, what is this? And you might even just start writing tonight. Even though you haven't prayed, you're going to get a chance right here. It's the first time in all 10 months that we're going to have an altar call. And I'm going to ask you to come down with your spouse or your person or by yourself or your family. And we're going to pray that God would start to show us his vision for our lives. But what characterizes what your family should be? What do we need to plan or change to make this a reality? And I'm just going to prep you right here. You may not get an answer tonight. That's okay. God is building us up to be priests. He's growing us up to be priests. It's a process. It's the journey before the destination. And so as they sing, that's my challenge. You know the homework. Let's come down. Let's ask God, what's the vision for my life? I might not get it tonight, God, but start showing it to me. Start showing me what your vision for my life is and what I can start doing, what I can start leading my family through to do it. This altar's open.
Nothing. For your pleasure.
Praise God. There's just a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Thank you so very much, Brother Peter, for sharing a very vital word. And I want to encourage all of our families. And I know some of you are single and such. Principle still applies. You're not exempt. And to apply these principles into your life. And it's a challenge to our fathers, especially as our world is spinning out of control. I was just talking with Sister April tonight. I said, you know, don't worry. We're talking about what's going on in Israel and all of the mess going on. It's like God has this. He's not going to let anything happen that shouldn't happen. A lot of atrocities and such, but God is in control. And use this as an opportunity. People are afraid. People don't know what's going on, what's going to happen next. As we see certain factions of people rising up and calling for worldwide responses and all kinds of messes, and it's just a mess out there. Take those cards home with you that Brother Phil has put together, because I promise you, as the world gets worse and as things begin to unfold, who would have thought that last week we would be here seeing what we're seeing now? That's just a week. By next week, half the world could be at war. We don't have any guarantee. But I'm trusting in my Jesus. So take some of those invite cards home with you. Invite your neighbor. Go to the restaurant. Invite. Just one other little thing I just want to share with you here. On a totally different note, but you probably noticed that we only have one operating projector that's behind us here, and the one on the back wall is not operating. We are, a few years ago, we made a decision to upgrade our sound and go with a digital soundboard because we had an analog and everything was going digital. Everything's going cordless, and it's becoming more and more sophisticated. I want to thank our sound people, under direction of Brother Jordan Powell. Brother Phil Stackhouse is back there tonight, but they do a tremendous job, and it's a difficult job because when everything works perfect, nobody says anything. They only say something when things aren't right, and if you want to know what that's like, just sit in there with them one night. And but we only have one projector, and what the problem is with this is we've decided or made the decision to upgrade our projectors. Now, these projectors have a lifespan. They have a bulb in them, and no one is making LED replacements for the bulbs, and the bulbs are being phased out, and they're becoming obsolete. Now, these bulbs for this projector right above me run in the neighborhood of $650 a bulb, and you get about three bulbs before the machine, just the computer in the machine, just shuts itself off and says, you've reached your life expectancy, and it just won't work anymore. How would you like to have that for technology in your car? But it's coming. But so we've decided to upgrade to a laser light system, which is much cheaper when it comes to the bulbs, but it's more expensive to purchase the projectors and such. So we have one projector that we've purchased, and we're going to be having to upgrade our wiring system because, well, you know how that is. How many of you have VCRs at home? Anybody have a VCR left? Go buy a new TV and try to see if that old VCR is going to plug in. It ain't going to work. So it just is what happens is technology just keeps moving forward, and we have to upgrade not only our wiring system, but everything that literally turns the system on and off. So if you can be patient with us while we work our way through this, and we will get it, and It may be a little bit yet, but God bless you. Thank you for being patient. Thank you, Brother Peter, for a wonderful job tonight. And our children, we have a lot of kids that were in practice tonight, so if you have to go get your children, you're dismissed, and we will see you back here Friday night for our focus on our marriages and our family weekend. God bless you.